Joseph returned to Egypt in verse 14, he and his brethren and all that went up with them to bury his father after he had buried his father. So they'd all come back. Verse 15. But when Joseph's father, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. I might have already said this, but I'd like us to look today at four benefits for the forgiving Christian. Before we do that, let's ask the Lord to help us. Pray, Lord, this morning that you would guide the thoughts and the words that are spoken. I pray that you would help us all to have open hearts. As Josh already prayed, help us to look at ourselves individually to see the need that we have. This is this matter of forgiveness and offenses. These are things that we deal with all the time. Lord, I pray today that you would help us to look at things the way that you see them. Help us to see that the Bible is true, and that we must live according to it. I just pray for your blessing on this time as we look at it in your name. Amen. Look at what they said in verse 15. First of all, they acknowledged their wrongdoing. They said, peradventure he will hate us and certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. This is out of their own mouth. So if you're standing in a court and the judge were to say, are you guilty or not guilty? Their plea was guilty. We did evil to him. And down in the messenger, what they told him to say to Joseph in verse 17, he said, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. You know, this is the messenger who is giving them the message that they asked him to deliver. But then they asked him for forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is something that you and I struggle with on a daily basis. At least I do this morning. For instance, there was a situation that I heard about that made me angry. Somebody was done wrong, in my opinion. You know, it's easy to take up offenses for other people. How many of us in here have ever done that? All of us, probably. We hear how somebody was wronged. Usually we hear one end of the story. We don't get the full thing. It's easy to take up an offense for another individual, and instead of saying, well, I haven't, you know, instead of just thinking realistically, I haven't had the opportunity to hear both sides. You know, it takes two, usually, to cause an issue. And pride is usually at the root of it in Proverbs chapter 10. But, you know, we often have situations in life that come to us, either taking up the offense of somebody else or taking up an offense on our own for something that was done to us directly. And here, Joseph had really had a lot of things done to him unjustly. Now, we could go back to Genesis chapter 37. I'm just going to review here. You don't have to turn to these passages. But in Genesis chapter 37, he was deserted by his family. Remember, he was loved by his father. That wasn't something Joseph asked for. Jacob chose to, out of all the sons he had, he loved Joseph more than he did the others. And, you know, there's a lot of things in there we can pick up as parents, how we treat our children. It's easy, you know, sometimes there's a child who just is easier to like than others. You saw Karis this morning doing a lot of things. She has been my troublemaker. She is built right now. She's filling out, and she is unstoppable. I don't know where she gets it. The unstoppable side from my side, of course, you know, thick and strong, but she's got a sin nature. I don't know where that came from. But she is a very determined young lady right now. lot of it, too, is innocent. She's not meaning to be an issue. Anybody ever have a child like that? Okay. No? But anyway, it's easy to favor a certain child because they seem to always obey. They seem to always be, you know, less volatile and more desirous of the parents' approval. I don't know what Joseph did here, but somehow he gained the special affection by his father, and that he was treated differently. He was loved more. We know that he was given the coat of many colors, but it bred a hatred in the heart of his brothers for Joseph. That hatred grew to the point, you know, especially after the dreams he had, where he said, "Hey, I had this dream where you were going to worship me or bow down and serve me," and all that just stirred the pot more, and anger came even more to the point where they saw him coming from afar, and they plotted to kill him. I cannot imagine killing a brother. I had four. I have four. There are times we thought about it, I'm sure. Maybe plotted, but it never got carried out. We maybe killed each other more by accident, or could have killed each other more by accident, doing something foolish. But to actually desire to see your brother dead, I cannot imagine. But it was caused by this hatred they had. But Joseph chose to trust the Lord even when he was deserted by his family. They sold him into slavery. He was tempted when he rose to a place of higher service in the house of Potiphar. He was tempted by his wife. He resisted it. He fled from it. But then he was falsely accused in Genesis 39. He was thrown into prison falsely. He did not rape her or sexually molest this woman as she claimed that he had done. But he was put into prison. But even while he was in prison, the Lord was with Joseph. And we find that phrase. The Lord was with Joseph, and he served. And it was to the point where the jailer allowed him to be in charge, because he was a man who was found faithful. You know, in each of these situations, Joseph responded in a way that is contrary to the natural inclination. Today we have a society that says, "Well, I've been wronged." Everybody in our society has been wronged. If you're black, you're Hispanic, your whatever persuasion, everybody claims that they've been wronged or are being wronged, and that they demand equal rights for some whatever, unless you're a white American male. But I shouldn't have said that. That's a little politically incorrect. But anyway, here he continued to serve. He showed himself faithful. He found that the Lord was faithful in each situation and that God helped him through it. He was given the opportunity for revenge in Genesis chapter 42 when his brothers came before him when he was second to Pharaoh during the famine. His brothers come to him and he recognized them. They did not him. Boy, what an opportunity. What an opportunity. And yet, he forgave his brothers. But I think about how each of these things could apply to our life. You know, many times we forgive in some areas, and there are some areas maybe where you will never forgive a person because we feel like, well, I've been so wronged. If I forgive them, I'm letting them off the hook. They really did do me wrong. You know, there was a point in my life where I hated an individual so badly I wanted to see him dead. And I say it to my shame. I'm not being, I'm being serious. That was the desire I had. But you know, God does a work in your heart. When I got my heart right, I sought out that individual. I couldn't find him. I found that he had passed away. But you know, the desire of my heart was to make that relationship right. Now, I hadn't done anything to this person, but he caused a lot of hardship and hurt in my life. And, you know, we forget that by choosing to forgive when we are wronged, we will be following the command of Christ. And by doing so, there are benefits that we will reap. And I think of some benefits for the person who is doing the forgiving. First thing is that forgiveness develops in me a magnanimous, if I can use that word here, develops me into a magnanimous individual. That means to be big-hearted or having a nobleness. Speaks of non-selfishness, being liberal and honorable. I think of how Joseph exhibited that characteristic right there. He had every right to whine over his circumstances, to complain, to be downhearted, to respond in a way that was natural. You know, we often, whether it's in the workplace, it's in our home life, it's in relationships we have with people, we see favor given to somebody else, and it would be easy to sit back and say, I should have that same favor given to me, but I didn't. And I've seen that in the workplace, and I'm guilty of it. The boss gives somebody a pay increase, and you sit there shaking your head thinking, why didn't I get one? I clean up that guy's mess. And it's easy to think that way, and before long you've taken up an offense. And now you view who differently? You view your boss differently. He's not fair. You look at that employee differently. That guy's just a jerk. If I were boss, I'd fire him. You know, instead of being that way, we need to respond as Joseph did. You know, wallowing in self-pity is chaining yourself to the gridiron of failure. When you choose to become so self-focused that you can't get past the offense, you will be a failure. I can think of so many different, you know, ways that we do this. We replay in our mind the wrong that happened. We get stuck upon the hurt that took place in our life, and you know, you're never going to get beyond it. And there are times where we just need to grow up. You know, there are so many people who, as adults, never truly develop and mature. And why is it? It's because in the past they've been hurt, they've been wronged, and they took up an offense and could never forgive. And to this day, they're bitter and angry, and there's something wrong with them that you sense when you're just speaking to them. They're not normal. Why? It's because that root of bitterness. And it grows up in the heart, and it defiles many. It wrecks your home. It wrecks your relationships with people. It ruins, it splits off your fellowship with God. But Joseph, he refused to feel sorry for himself. I never find him feeling sorry for himself. Now, I'm sure he was discouraged. I'm sure that there might have been times where he maybe had some moments where he was in the dumps, so to speak. But in those times, Joseph continued to look to the God of his fathers and say, I will trust the Lord. I don't understand. You know, you take the story of Joseph, and it is a perfect illustration of the truth that we find in Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, 17 that we're not to return evil for evil, but we're to return evil with good. And that is exactly what he did. In Romans 12, 17, it says, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And again, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Peter even addressed it. 1 Peter 3:9. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Well, that's hard, isn't it? We're dealt evil. We're dealt, here he calls it railing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. We're to respond with a blessing, and what does God promise in return? A blessing. Isn't that amazing how God works and how God does this? But forgiving definitely helps one grow as a bigger and better person. Also, it promotes spiritual growth. And Christ linked the forgiveness of our sins with our willingness to forgive others. Hold your place here in Genesis. Go over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Forgiveness, my forgiving of somebody else, helps me grow spiritually. Matthew chapter 6, and look at verse 14. Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, and he says here in verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, contrary, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, there is something to be understood here. If I forgive, I will be forgiven. If I refuse to forgive, then he will refuse me forgiveness. You know, that is so true. Romans 12, verse 19. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith Adam." We like to say that, don't we? "Oh yeah, you're going to do that to me? I'll get even. I will get you." Whether it's in the dark or it's in the day, when you hear footsteps, you just know it's me. Okay? You ever felt that way towards somebody? We want to take vengeance and get ourselves our pound of flesh. But the Lord said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And Joseph submitted himself to the Lord, understanding, "I can't control these situations. I've responded. I can control in that I can respond correctly. But I can't control being thrown into prison. I can't control being sold into slavery. I can't control these things. But God has a plan, and I will trust in it. And I will do right." Forgiveness also helps to deepen human relationships. You know, I think of Joseph. For so many years, he did not have fellowship with his brothers. I think that, I think of those dark nights in his imprisonment. I wonder what he thought about. The anger, the bitterness, the hatred that maybe would grow in a natural heart toward those who had wronged you and were the reason for your being there. I can think, though, based on how he responded, that even in the darkest nights, he still had an attitude of forgiveness, that he still trusted the Lord. Notice, when he saw his brothers, he was so moved in compassion. Back to Genesis chapter 50, in verse 18, he and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." Okay, they are giving to him a humble spirit. They are acknowledging, hey, this is the fulfillment of that dream he'd had as a boy. Okay, here all of his brothers, Judah, etc., 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 have come, and now they have bowed down to him, recognizing his power, recognizing his place of authority over themselves, over their lives. And they're pleading for forgiveness. They've acknowledged their sin. They've acknowledged that they have done wrong, and they are asking him to forgive them. But when he saw his brothers, he was so moved in compassion that he left the room and he wept. Verse 17, Joseph wept when he spake unto them. Notice his response in verse 19. "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God." You know, again, this goes along with what it says in Romans 12, that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It was not that Joseph necessarily excused their sin, but he put it in God's hands. He recognized, this is not my place to judge. This is not my place to punish for your wrongdoing. I've given it to God. I'm not in God's place. God is the judge. God is the executor of judgment. I am going to take hands off. I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to punish. And here, then he points out in, let's see here. As far as our relationships with other people, how do you respond when you come face to face with someone that did you wrong in the past? Do you bristle? Are you able to befriend them because you have a forgiving spirit? I remember there was a individual that I was good friends with, and some things happened, and I was about 15 years old. Our church had a split, and it was just a nasty, nasty, nasty situation. Just pathetic, really. But I'll never forget people who were my best friends right after that left. And the pastor who left is pretty messed up in his thinking. But the instructions were, don't ever speak to me, my dad, all our family. You're not allowed to speak to them. And these people, they were pretty gullible, I guess. But anyway, I'll never forget, right after that happened, I saw a whole bunch of them. You'd be out at the mall, you'd be different places. And you'd see them, and my response, I had nothing against them. My response when I saw them was, hey! You know, yelling down the aisle, yelling across the parking lot. And more than one time, people would look at me. They saw me. They turn around and walk away. These are my best friends. These are guys that I grew up with from the nursery on up. You know, that can do something to you, especially when you're not very spiritually strong. But I'll never forget the bitterness that grew in my heart. I was angry and mad and just... But you know, I had one of them. I maybe said this before. One of them came up to me and he goes, hey, you know, I want to... He pulled out a gospel tract and he tried to show me how I could be saved. Whatever. Anyway, I said, he and I used to go door to door together. And, yeah, there's a lot of hurt. But you know what? There comes a point where you have to get past that. And you have to forgive or you will be destined to failure. And, you know, anyway. But people who can forgive will find that people naturally gravitate to them. You know, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. In human relationships, there will always be friction at points. No two people agree on everything. But there will always be friction, but there has to be an attitude of being able to see past self and being able to forgive when things have been rubbed the wrong way. But freedom, or forgiveness, the fourth thing, frees me to succeed. Joseph had he wandered around in self-pity, he never would have risen to the place of power in Pharaoh's kingdom. Again, bitterness just holds one in bondage. I want to look at something here. I was given this list many years ago. But Joseph, as a comparison to Jesus Christ, you know, we're never shown anything where Joseph came out and did a sin. Now, that is not to say he was sinless. But for whatever reason, God did not record that in Scripture. But Joseph, when you compare him to Jesus Christ, just 13 things I thought were interesting. The first thing, Genesis 37 to Matthew chapter 3, both were the beloved son of their father. Both were rejected and hated by their brethren. Both were sold as or for the price of a slave. Both fed hungry people with bread. Both were the savior of their people. Both were shepherds. Both were taken into Egypt to avoid being killed. Both began their ministry at the age of 30. Both refused to yield to temptation. Both were falsely accused. Both were condemned between two prisoners. Both became a servant. Both were given vision into the future, and both became a Lord. And I think about Jesus Christ and the example that we have of Him and who we are to be like. Folks, when we think about relationships and this matter of forgiveness, really we just need to think about what He took for ourselves on the cross. He was rejected by those that He came to save. He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was esteemed stricken. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He was cuffed upside one side and down the other across His face. They plucked His beard. They planted a crown of thorns on His head. Nailed Him to a cross. Not one time did He raise His voice in anger. But instead, while hanging on that cross, He said, Father, forgive them. Let me ask you, what can somebody do to you that justifies an attitude of not forgiving? What can somebody do to you that you haven't done to Jesus Christ? You know, you think about it like that. That puts, at least for me, it puts a whole different perspective on forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. How do you respond when somebody gives you the snub nose or gets promoted over you or somebody receives something that you feel that you should have gotten? The truth is, if we all got what we received, it would be eternal hell. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's have an attitude of forgiveness. Let's pray. Thank you again, Lord, for this the blessed book that we hold on our laps. Thank you for Joseph and the example that he is. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for the perfect example that he was. Lord, I pray that with the situations that come into our life, we may not like them. In your will, you don't necessarily promise that we're going to like everything that we come across. But I thank you, Lord, that you do give us the strength and the instruction to respond correctly as Joseph did in every situation. Lord, help us to look past self, to look past the circumstance, and see that you know the end from the beginning, and you know everything, and you control all things. Thank you for the example of Joseph. And I just pray now that you would work in our hearts and help us to be a forgiving people. In your name, amen.